Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I just needed to hear that worship this morning, because so many times we want to lay in bed. We don't want to get up. We don't want to move forward. We don't want to go into the next day or the next day. We want to just say, I'm done. I don't need to do anything else, but we need to do a whole lot of things. We need to get up and get moving. We need to get up and get moving, because we don't want to get stagnant. We don't want to get stagnant, and we don't want to be stagnant. It's time to get up. It's time to get moving. It's time to go to work, and we work for the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God in heaven, I thank you for another day. I thank you for your grace, for your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness toward me, God. I thank you just for being who you are, awesome and mighty God, who loves me more than I love myself. Lord God, I lift up this mighty word to you this morning, asking you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Glory to God, who is the source of our strength and our life. Tell God today, good morning, Lord. And as I was studying early this morning, the word that came to me was, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Let the Lord be a true and faithful witness before us. In our word this morning, Jeremiah is lied to, basically. You know, we have Johanan and some of the people of Israel telling him, oh, well, I tell you what, you pray to the Lord, and we will do exactly what you say we need to do. If the Lord says we don't need to go to to Egypt. We won't go to Egypt. We'll do just what you say. But praise to the Lord for it. And Jeremiah told him, he said, okay, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. You know, if what I tell you don't come true. And he tried his best. But they going to yank him into it, too. He's wanting to stay where he is, and they like, no, we're going to Egypt. You know, God, when you pray, be willing to do what God says do. Don't have your mind made up with what you're going to do before you pray. Because then you pray amiss. You pray amiss. When you do what you say you're going to do, you pray amiss. And we cannot pray amiss. We got to pray and ask God. God guide us. God lead us. God show us the way to go. And he will do such. He will do such. He will show you the way to go. So thank God in the midst. Thank God in his grace. Thank God in his love. For he loves us more than we could ever imagine or think. In the name of Jesus, we just thank God. We thank him. We praise him. We lift up the name of Jesus. Whew, just want to say thank you, Lord. Tell God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. And Lord God, as we go forth this morning, I do want to ask you, Father, to please watch over Pastor Mike. Lord God, you know that he has been so faithful to you, God. You brought him through so many, many trials, so many ups and so many downs, God. So I'm asking you, Father God, in the name of Jesus, to please watch over them, to please give him peace, to please remove anything that he may have, God. And we know your will always be done, God. Lord God, we ask you to do it again. Heal him again, Father. Guide him again, Father. Let it all work out again, Father. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord. Let it all work for his good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God. And as we go into our word this morning, I pray that it touches your heart and it touches your mind. And I tell you all the way up front, there may be some names that I butcher, but God knows who they were. All right. So let's get into our word. This is Old Testament Friday. Old Testament Friday, shout out to all those that have had birthdays. My cousin, you know, he's had a birthday, and I just want to say happy birthday to him. You know, we call him Buddy, happy birthday to our old friend, Ian Oliver, you know. And again, lifting up Pastor Mike and those that are in need of prayer, the sick and the shut in. So thanking God for all that are in need today, that are in need of God's love and in need of prayer. Happy birthday to all those that are in need. And just saying thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to God. And thanking God for friendships and sisters and soldiers and all of those people that are in your life. And please, again, continue praying for Sister Carolyn as she is still under the weather. So let's get started. Let's get started. Say it's Old Testament Friday. It's Old Testament Friday. Anyway, I had a moment, so just ignore me. But anyway, in Jeremiah, we're going to be in Jeremiah starting at chapter 39. and we will be going to chapter 44. So chapter 39 to chapter 44. And it's a lot of word, but it is good word. And our title is out of chapter 42. For those that need to know where we're coming from this morning, our title is coming out of chapter 42. And we are starting on this 27th, wow, day of October. And on Sunday, we'll be celebrating a good friend who passed away and who was such a joy. And I am so grateful to have called him my friend and to call his wife my friend. So just sending out hugs to my friend, and she knows who she is. So let's go into the Word, chapter 39 of Jeremiah. And it says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. Nargal Shirazah, Shamgar Nebo, Sharkasim, Rabashar, Nargal Shirazah, Rabbi Amag, with the rest of the princes of the king of Babylon. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls, and he went out by way of the plain. But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah, and the king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. You think about this. The last thing you see is the murder of your children and friends, the murder of your children and friends, and then your eyes are put out. And when I thought about that, I always thought, think about Samson, how he was betrayed by Delilah. And then you think, you were told numerous times, God showed you numerous times, this woman was up to no good. She asked you two other times, where did your strength come from? And then she would tell you that the silver things was coming, and you break free, and then she'd cry and say, you didn't tell me the truth. Jeremiah told Zedekiah numerous times that the Chaldeans are coming. Told him numerous times what God said. And just like Samson, he didn't listen to God. And then on the third time that Delilah put her ratchet sail, want money, the root of all kinds of evil, got the truth out of it. And then while he was sleeping, she cut off all his lovely hair. Cut it all off. And then said, the Philistines are coming. And when he woke up, he couldn't do anything. And then they took his eyes and made him basically into an ox because he had no strength. But while he was in prison, his strength came back because his head grew back. He couldn't see. But as they stood in between the pillars and he asked for help, God gave it to him. And he destroyed most of the nobles. Nebuchadnezzar, evil as he was, to take the king's eyes, he was still doing the will of God. But God used his evil self to get the attention of his people. Took his eyes and carried him into bondage. And then it says in verse number 8, and the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. So folks that didn't have anything, he gave them everything. And the ones that had, he took into slavery. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave a charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. So Nebuchadnezzar, the captain of the guard, sent Nebuchadnezzar and Nergal-Sharezer and Ragnar and all the king of Babylon's chief officers. Then they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, that he should take him home. So he dwelt among the people. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my word upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid. For I will surely deliver you, and you shall be, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. Jeremiah doesn't lie. And what he said to this unit who saved his life, Ebed-Melech, came true. He was not listed in the captivity. God saved him. And I'm sure he took the word of God home. And as we go back into Jeremiah 39:18, the life lesson is, your life shall be as a prize to you because you have put your trust in me. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, had no way of knowing that when he helped Jeremiah, he was actually helping himself. He displayed his genuine faith by risking his life for the prophet, and God gave him his life as a reward. He got a prophet's reward for helping a prophet. He saved Jeremiah's life. He saved his life, and Jeremiah, through the Lord God, saved edit Malik's life. And as we go into chapter 40, the word of God in Jeremiah says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had let him go from Ramah when he had taken him bound in chains among all who were carried away from Jerusalem and Judah who were carried away captive to Babylon. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said to him, the Lord your God has pronounced this doom on this place. Now the Lord has brought it and has done just as he said, because you people have sinned against the Lord. Wow. He pulled out the you people card and not obeyed his voice. Therefore, this thing has come upon you. And now, look, I free you this day from the chains that were on your hands. If it seems good to you to come with me to Babylon, come, and I will look after you. But if it seems wrong for you to come with me to Babylon, remain here. See, all the land is before you. Wherever it seems good and convenient for you to go, go there. Now, while Jeremiah had not yet gone back, Nebuzaradan said, go back to Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon has made governor over the cities of Judah, and dwell with him among the people, or go wherever it seems convenient for you to go. So the captain of the guard gave him rations and a gift and let him go. Then Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, the son of Akim in Mizpah, and dwelt with him among the people who were left in the land. And when all the captains of the armies who were in the field, they and their men heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah, the son of Akim, governor in the land, and had committed to him men, women, children, and the poor of the land who had not been carried away captive to Babylon. Then they came to Gedaliah and Mizpah, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan, the son of Kira, Shariah, the son of Tanhamet, and the sons of Ephod, the Nethophite, and the Jezaniah, the son of Megahite. They and their men, and Gedaliah, the son of Kim, the son of Jephthah, took an oath before them, and their men said, do not be afraid to serve the Chaldeans, dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. As for me, I will indeed dwell in Mizpah and serve the Chaldeans who come to us, but you gather wine and summer food, oil, put them in your vessels and dwell in your city that you have taken. Likewise, when all the Jews who were in Moab among the Ammonites, the Edom, and in Edom, and who were in all the countries heard that the king of Babylon had left the remnant of Judah, and that he had set over them Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, then all the Jews returned out of all places, for they had been driven, and came to the land of Judah, to Gedaliah at Mizpah, and gathered wine and summer fruit in abundance. Moreover, Johanan, the son of Kirah, and all the captains of the forces were in the fields came to Gedaliah Mizpah and said to him, do you certainly know that Balak, the king of the Ammonites, has sent Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, to murder you? But Gedaliah, the son of a king, did not believe them. Sometimes when folks tell you something, you need to listen because it may save your life. Gedaliah thought he was all that because he was covered by the Babylonians, when instead he should have been going and reaching out to God through the prophet Jeremiah. But he didn't. He thought he could do his own thing, and he didn't want to re-believe Johanan. Now, understand, Johanan had been with Ishmael. He knew who Ishmael was, and he knew where Ishmael had gone. So you should have listened. But Gedaliah didn't want to listen. And then he said this, Jordan, the son of Kareth, spoke secretly to Gedaliah and Mizpah, saying, let me go, please, and I will kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and no one will know it. Why should he murder you so that all the Jews who are gathered to you will be scattered and the remnant in Judah perish? But Gedaliah, the son of Akim, said to Johanan, the son of Korah, you shall not do this thing, for you speak falsely concerning Israel. You know, sometimes, I should say not sometimes, but when God sends somebody to give you a warning, you need to listen. If you don't want to believe it, you take it to the throne. You take it to that God phone we talked about called the Holy Spirit. And you get on your knees and you pray. And you ask God, Lord, is what I heard the truth? Should I be weary of XYZ? Should I be weary of the Israelites in my life? What should I do, Lord? But Gedaliah didn't do that. He just told Jordan, you're not telling the truth. I don't believe you. And so let's see what happens. And again, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. God was a faithful witness between Johanan and Gedaliah, but Gedaliah chose not to listen to God, not to listen to the warning God sent by a man that knew Ishmael. So let's see what happens. Now it came to pass in the 7th month. They waited 7 months then. 7 is what? Complete. That Ishmael the son and Nethaniah the son of Ishmael of the royal family and of the officers of the king came with 10 men. Now does that not, now you catch what this is showing. Ishmael was one of the king's household. He was a son of the family and of the officers of the king. And understand what happened to Zedekiah. Eyes put out, whole family murdered, friends murdered. Could have been one of Ishmael's relatives that was murdered. And then to see Gedaliah siding with the enemy, it made him mad. And he schemed and connived to kill him. So when you get that lineage piece in, it clicks and makes sense as to what Ishmael has against Gedaliah. But again, Gedaliah's just so happy to be in a position that he does not think about others that don't want him in that position, others that don't trust him, others who have maybe lost family members in the skirmish with the Chaldeans and with Babylonian Nebuchadnezzar. So let's see what it says in the Word of God. You know, the Lord breaks it down for us. And it says now, chapter 41, one more time, from the beginning. Now it came to pass in the 7th month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family, and of the officers of the king came, and of the officers of the king came with 10 men to Gedaliah. Now it's making sense who these folks are. And Gedaliah, the son of Akim, in Mizpah. And there they ate bread together in this. Then Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and the 10 men who were with him, arose and struck Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, with the sword and killed him, whom the king of Babylon had made governor over the land. Ishmael also struck down all the Jews who were with him, that is, with Gedaliah at Mizpah, and the Chaldeans who were found there, the men of war. And it happened on the 2nd day after he had killed Gedaliah, when as yet no one knew it, that certain men came from Shechem, from Shiloh, and from Samaria, 80 men, with their beards shaved and their clothes torn, having cut themselves with offerings and incense in their hands, to bring them to the house of the Lord. Now Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, went out from Mizpah to meet them, weeping as he went along. And it happened as he met them that he said to them, come to Gedaliah, the son of Akim. So it was when they came into the midst of the city that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, killed them and cast them into the midst of a pit, he and his men who were with him. But 10 men were found among them who said to Ishmael, do not kill us, for we have treasures of wheat, barley, oil, and honey in the field. So he desisted and did not kill them among their brethren. Now the pit into which Ishmael had cast all the dead bodies of the men whom he had slain because of Gedaliah was the same one Asa the king had made for fear of Baasha, king of Israel. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, filled it with the slain. Then Ishmael carried away captive all the rest of the people who were in Mizpah, the king's daughters and all the people who remained in Israel, whom never there been the captain of the guard, had committed to Gedaliah, the son of Akim. Ishmael was something else. The son of Nethaniah carried them away captive and departed to go over to the Ammonites. But when Johanan, the son of Kerah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him heard of all the evil that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had done, they took all the men and went to fight with Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, and they found him by the great pool that is in Gibeon. So it was when all the people who were with Ishmael saw Johanan, the son of Kerah, and all the captains of the forces who were with him, that they were glad. Then all the people whom Ishmael had carried away captive from Mizpah turned around and came back and went to Johanan, the son of Kerah. But Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan and went and with 8 men and went to the Ammonites. He had done his dirt and he was finished. Then Johanan, the son of Kerah, and all the captains of the forces that were with him took from Mizpah all the rest of the people. Excuse me, family. Oh, my. From Mizpah and all the rest of the people whom he had recovered from Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, after he had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the mighty men of war, and the women and the children and the eunuchs whom he had brought back from Gibeon. And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Kimham, which is near Bethlehem, as they went on their way to Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them because Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, had murdered Gedaliah, the son of Akim, whom the king of Babylon had made governor in the land. Folks, just evil. And it said this, Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, escaped from Johanan with eight men and went on and went to the Ammonites. Jeremiah 41:15. And I love how Dr. Stanley puts it in Hollywood. The bad guy usually gets it in the end. But the Bible is realistic. It admits that life doesn't always happen that way, at least on this side of heaven. But no one escapes the final judgment. You know, you're looking like he murdered Gedaliah and all those people, and him and the eight got away. How did he get away? Well, two of them didn't make it, but 8 of the 10 left with him. Come on now. How did that happen? Because it was not his destiny to die there. It was not his destiny to be killed by Johanan. Everything happens for a purpose and a reason, and I like to say the good, the bad, and the ugly. And what we do is we trust in God. We trust in God that Ishmael will get his. You do dirt, you will eventually get yours. And it says, now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kerah, Jezariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, and this is where they don't want to believe the prophet they already had their minds made up on what they were going to do. But then they sent and made a vow, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. They made a vow now. You know, we learned with Jaharis that you don't make vows, because out of the house comes his daughter. When he didn't have to make a vow at all, all he had to do was trust in the Lord. And these folks making a vow, knowing good and well they were not going to keep it. But this is what happened. Let's go back to the word. And it says, now all the captains of the forces, Johanan the son of Kira, Jezaniah the son of Hoshiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest came near and said to Jeremiah the prophet, please let our petition be acceptable to you and pray for us to the Lord your God for all this remnant, since we are left but a few or many, as you can see. That the Lord your God may show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard. Indeed, I will pray to the Lord your God according to your word. And it shall be that whatever the Lord answers you, I will declare it to you. I will keep nothing back from you. So they said to Jeremiah, now here's that vow, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us. If we do not do according to everything which the Lord your God sends us by you, pleasing or displeasing, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send you, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. Now again, we don't make vows we know we're not going to keep. They had already made plans to go to Egypt. They had already made up their mind they are going to Egypt because they were walking in fear and not in faith. And it said, and it happened after 10 days that the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. Then he called Johanan and the son of Kirath and all the captains of the forces which were with him, and all people from the least even to the greatest, and said to them, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to whom you sent me to present your petition before him. If you will still remain in this land, then I will build you and not pull you down, and I will plant you and not pluck you up. For I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought upon you. Do not be afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Afraid of him, says the Lord. For I am with you to save you and deliver you from his hand. And I will show you mercy, that he may have mercy on you and cause you to return to your own land. But if you say, we will not dwell in this land, disobeying the voice of the Lord your God, then no, but we will go to the land of Egypt, where we shall see no war, nor hear the sound of the trumpet, nor be hungry for bread, but there we will dwell. And hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you only set your faces to enter Egypt and go to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you fear shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. The famine of which you were afraid shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. So shall it be with all the men who set their faces to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, and none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. But thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so will my fury be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And you shall be an oath, an astonishment, a curse, and a reproach, and you shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day, but you are hypocrites. you this day, but you are hypocrites in your hearts when you sent me to the Lord your God, saying, pray for us to the Lord our God, and according to all that the Lord your God says, so declare to us, and we will do it. And I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God or anything which he has sent you by me. Now, therefore, know certainly that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go to dwell. Jeremiah said, I knew when you asked me that you was lying, but I went to the Lord anyway. You're hypocrites. And this is what Dr. Stanley says for our scripture this morning. In chapter 42 and 3, the Lord your God show us the way in which we should walk and the thing we should do. The men who said these things mouthed all the right words, but they had no intention of obeying God. They already had a plan. They merely wanted Jeremiah to bless it. Such prayers and plans God would never honor. It's not hard to play the part of regular churchgoers and hymns, but God is after genuine faith, not well-rehearsed lines spoken conventionally. In Jeremiah 42 and 20, you were hypocrites in your heart. Before these men ever acted on their deception, Jeremiah openly revealed their hearts. We may fool others, but we do not fool God. We can never manipulate him into giving us what we want. And we need to remember that above all things, don't play or try to manipulate God. God knows our heart. He knows our mind. He knows our thoughts before we ever think them. And God knew what was going on in the hearts of the people. Had Jeremiah praying. When they already had made plans to go to Egypt, they would go to their destruction. So let's see what happens in chapter 43 and 44. Now it happened when Jeremiah had stopped speaking to all the people, all the words of the Lord, their God, for which the Lord their God had sent him to them. All these words that Azariah, the son of Hashaniah, Johanan, the son of Kirah, and all the proud men spoke, saying to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. The Lord our God has not sent you to say, do not go to Egypt, to dwell there, but Jeremiah, the son of Nero, has set you against us to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they may put us to death or carry us away captive to Babylon. So Johanan, the son of Kirah, all the captains of the force, and all the people would not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Kirah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to dwell in the land of Judah from all nations where they had been driven, men, women, children, the king's daughters, and every person who never dared then, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Akim, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch, the son of Mirah. So they went to the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. And they went as far as Tophan. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah at Tophan, saying, take large stones in your hand and hide them in the sight of the men of Judah, in the clay in the brick courtyard, which is at the entrance of Pharaoh's house in Tophan. And say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and bring Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden, and he will spread his royal pavilion over them. When he comes, he shall strike the land of Egypt and deliver to death those appointed for death, and to captivity those appointed for captivity, and to the sword those appointed for the sword. I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive. And he shall array himself with the land of Egypt as a shepherd puts on his garments. And he shall go out from there in peace. He shall also break the sacred pillars of Beth Shemesh that are in the land of Egypt. And the houses of the gods of the Egyptians he shall burn with fire. And if we go back to chapter 43, verses 5 to 6, the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah and Jeremiah the prophet and Barak, the son of Neri. Jeremiah told the remnant not to go, not to move to Egypt, but they disobeyed and moved there anyway and took him along for the ride. He suffered for their disobedience. By faith, he had nothing else. Jeremiah expected God to vindicate him. Chapter 44, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews who dwelt in the land of Egypt, who dwelt in Migdal, at Tapan, and No, and in the courtyard of Papyrus. As Papyrus says, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, you have seen all the calamity that I have brought on Jerusalem and on all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no one dwells in them because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they did not know, they nor you nor your fathers. However, I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do abominable things that I hate. But they did not listen or incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense to other gods. So my fury and my anger were poured out and kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are wasted and desolate as it is this day. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, why do you commit this great evil against yourself, to cut off from you man and woman, child and infant, out of Judah, leaving none to remain, in that you provoke me to wrath with the work of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt, where you have gone to dwell, that you may cut yourselves off and be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth? Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, the wickedness of the kings of Judah, the wickedness of their wives, your own wickedness and the wickedness of your wives, which they committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They have not been humbled to this day, nor have they feared. They have not walked in my law and in my statutes that I set before you and your fathers. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will set my catastrophic and for cutting off of Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah who have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to dwell there. And they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least to the greatest by the sword and by famine. And they shall be an oath and astonishment, a curse and a reproach. For I will punish those who dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah who have gone into the land of Egypt to dwell there shall escape or survive. Thus they return to the land of Judah, to which they desire to return and dwell, for none shall return except those who escape. Then all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to other gods, and with all the women who stood by, a great multitude, and all the people who dwelt in the land of Egypt and Patros, answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. But we will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. But then we had plenty of food, were well off, and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. Hard head makes soft behind. Still didn't want to listen. Let's continue. The women also said, and when we burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured our drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour our drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? Then Jeremiah spoke to all the people, the men, the women, and all the people who had given him that answer to him. The incense that you burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and all the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and did it not come into his mind? So the Lord could no longer bear it because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you committed. Therefore, your land is a desolation and astonishment, a curse and without an inhabitant, as it is this day, because you have burned incense and because you have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord or walked in his law, in his statutes, or in his testimonies. Therefore, this calamity has happened to you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, you and your wives have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled your own hand, saying, we will surely keep our vows that we have made to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and pour out drink offerings to her. You will surely keep your vows and perform your vows. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah who dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah. In all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God lives, behold, I will watch over them for adversity and not for good. And all the men of Judah who are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by famine until there is an end to them. Yet a small number who escape the sword shall return from the land of Egypt to the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah who have gone to the land of Egypt to dwell there shall know whose words will stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you, says the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my words will surely stand against you by adversity. Thus the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of those who seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy who sought his life. And that is our word this morning, and all I can say is, when you pray, let the Lord be true and faithful witness between us. You better understand. Don't come to God with hypocrisy. Don't come to God with your mind already made up to do what you want to do and not what thus says the Lord. In Jeremiah 44:4, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. We never have to wonder whether something we're considering might offend or anger God. He goes out of his way to make his will clear to us. Will we listen carefully for what he says? Will we listen? When God says wait, you wait. When God says no, no means no. When God says yes, it will be in his time. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, what an awesome word today. A word from our sister in Christ. And again, please continue to keep Sister Carolyn in your prayers. And what she sent us today is this. Good morning. When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel. Woo! Again, Jeremiah went in prayer. He kneeled, asking God, what do I do, Lord? God told him what to tell. He hit his next boat. And they chose not to listen. They chose to do what they wanted to do and not what thus says the Lord. And they're going to suffer for it. So when God says, I love it, when life gives you more than you can stand, yeah. Have a follow God Friday. Have a Follow God Friday. And that's what we want to do. Let the Lord be true and faithful witness between us as we follow God. Don't listen to and don't fall for the okey-doke. Trust in the Lord, and he will lead you. He will guide you. He will help you. I'm trusting the Lord for some things, and I'm believing God that all will be well in Jesus' name. And as we get ready for our final word, time to go to our prayer book this morning. God, thank him for it. And our prayer for this 27th day of October is this. Take courage. This is for somebody. He said, come, and when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Matthew 14:29. Faithful one, you are consistent in your pursuit. How I became the object of your affection is a mystery, one that blows my mind. How the God of all creation chose me as his own before the foundations of the earth astounds me. You call me by name, knowing every detail about me. When you call for me to come, how could I let the safety of my comfort zone hold me back from meeting you? Your faith is in me, gives me the courage to need to step out into the unknown and meet you in the middle of it. Your love is more than I could have hoped for. It will forever be beyond my understanding. But a life lived with a partner who formed my heart as my guide is better than any I could ever forge on my own. Your love is better than any wild and than any of my wildest dreams. I will live out my thanks to you, giving you praise with every breath. Question today, family, as we wrap up is, what is holding you back from stepping out where God is calling you? If God is calling you today, step out in faith and know that he is God and that he loves you. Thank you so much for listening in this morning. And we pray out our prayer. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Family, let the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us that God is in charge of everything. Let us trust in the Lord today and lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge the Most High and watch him direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. I got to go to work. Have a great day, and thank you so much for listening in. Have a great day. Get to that.